We present My Music, a musical panel game devised by Edward J. Mason and Tony Schreier. And here to introduce the teams is Steve Race.
Thank you. Hello, My Music is out visiting. To be precise, we're on the stage of the Town Hall, Cheltenham, where the famous Cheltenham International Festival of Music is being held. It was felt that no serious symposium of the arts could be contemplated without, and I name them in alphabetical order, John Amis, Frank Muir, Dennis Norden, and Ian Wallace. John, you first. Let's start you off with a theme arranged by Malcolm Arnold, whose First and Fifth Symphonies were first performed here in Cheltenham, but whose symphonic work this is decidedly not. Malcolm Arnold's arrangement was a sea shanty. John, Malcolm, together with Richard Rodney Bennett, Theo Musgrave, Nicholas Moore, Robert Simpson, and Peter Maxwell Davis, all combined to write a set of variations on a theme by Mildred J. Hill. Why, and what was the theme?
Is it Happy Birthday to You?
Yes, it is, by Mildred J. Hill.
And it was written for Willie Walton's.
Yes, Sir William Walton's, which birthday? 70th birthday, that's yes. Right. And they all arranged Happy Birthday to You, and John Amis has a mark.
Since you mentioned symphonies and Cheltenham, may I tell one of my favourite stories? It's in the annals of Cheltenham Music Festival, but perhaps in the Apocrypha section. The story goes that Sir Adrian Bolt was rehearsing a new symphony by Humphrey Searle. And Humphrey Searle came in a little bit late into the rehearsal, and after a bit, he rather impatient and went up to Sir Adrian Bolt and said, "Sir Adrian, would you mind taking it a little quicker?" And Sir Adrian looked down very benignly, stroked his moustache and said, "Yes, of course, Mr. Searle, but you do realise this is not your symphony we're rehearsing."
What a splendid story. Lovely. Well, on with the quiz. Frank, this is one of the truly heavenly moments in music. What is it, Frank? What were we listening to?
It's Beethoven's Fifth.
That's right.
And John suggested that fate finally got the door open.
Yes. Is this one of the pieces of music you have on your car stereo cassette? You've now got music in your car, haven't you? And a whole new world has opened to me for questions.
Yes.
Is it one of those?
Well, Radio 3 keeps me happy with Beethoven.
Oh, I see. Yes, fair enough. I must really tell you, a listener, apropos of that particular Fifth Symphony, a listener in Retford in Nottinghamshire reminded me in a letter about Vic Oliver. You remember Vic Oliver, Frank, who once bumped into a musician he'd known in earlier years and asked him how he was getting on. And his friend said, "Oh, I'm fine. I'm running a little orchestra. There are 5 of us. Do come next Saturday. We're doing Beethoven's Fifth." Vic Oliver turned pale at this thought, and he said, "Oh, I'm sorry, I'm working this Saturday." And his friend said, "Oh, all the better. Come the following Saturday. We're doing 1812.
The word doing is...
Doing, yes. Doing 1812. Ian, your turn. In the year 1788, George III came here to Cheltenham in order to take the waters. In that same year, 1788, this music was composed and first performed, and it, like Frank's music, is symphonic.
I think that was almost certainly composed in the Cheltenham of Austria, which was Salzburg.
Yes, that's right. Very likely. It being by...
Mozart.
And a symphony number...
Oh, no, that's... that is well be...
Well, can I give you a clue?
20,
try...
30...
Try Jack Benny's age.
Well, that's I can't miss it because I've had very good... and Jack Benny's age, which was 39.
That's right. Symphony number 39 in E-flat. How about a Kirkle number, John?
5-4-3.
5-4-3. John gives it to you and you've got the mark, Ian. Yes. Kirkle, 5-4-3.
Well, we've got that fully documented.
Dennis, this really is the most remarkable coincidence. You might like to make notes as I'm just telling you this bit. Mozart, who wrote that symphony, was born in Salzburg, which is on the same line of latitude as the St. Lawrence River. Lawrence of Arabia was filmed in 1962, which was the year in which this next record was made. Mozart never heard it, because exactly one century before, he'd been dead for 71 years. My question is, what is it? What is it, Dennis?
Was the piece that Sir Adrian Bolt was rehearsing. I don't know what it is. No.
But you don't remember it. Do you remember? It's familiar, isn't it?
It's very familiar. It sounds... I know. I have not. It sounded vaguely film. I changed my mind in mid-air during it. I thought it was film music, and I thought it wasn't.
No, it's atmospheric. Let's work our way towards it. A sandstorm at the beginning?
Oh, was that a sandstorm?
Yes.
Oh, I see.
What sort of a group of men would you have in a sandstorm, and would they know where they were?
I was Foreign Legion type.
Yes, that's right. I can't help anymore. It's called The Lost Patrol.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Johnny...
Well, ask him for the Kirk number of...
Johnny Keating's orchestra, the K number one, I suppose, K for Keating. I can't give a mark there, can I?
That tune is Capriccio Italian, isn't it?
Well, there you are. Down on the record label of The Lost Patrol. And we move on to a round of purely verbal questions, some unusual, even eccentric, characters in musical history with questions arising from their activities. John, in 1823, a world-famous prima donna agreed to take part in a performance of Handel's Messiah on condition that she was allowed to take over the tenor arias, Comfort Ye and Every Valley. She also demanded to sing, and this in the middle of Messiah, if you please, a performance of Non Più Andrai from The Marriage of Figaro. The mind really boggles. Can you tell me who she was, I wonder?
I can't, but I'm going to ferret. Was she English? Italian?
Yes, judging by her name.
Now, who was around in 1823? Any of you?
I can tell you one or two things. She received 200 guineas for a single performance of God Save the King. And as her contemporary John Clare remarked, that ain't
hay. It's too early, isn't it, for the Malibran sisters?
No, not judging by her name. Angelica somebody.
Angelica Kaufman.
She may have come from the Catalan district, I think. I think she may have come from the Catalan district, John, if that's a slight help.
Catalan.
Yes, Catalani, that's right. Well, you got Angelica, didn't you?
Yes.
So it'll be a half mark out of one. Angelica Catalani was the name of the lady. Frank.
Give me a really hard one.
All right, I'll do that. Interesting, though. This is a more recent singer, much more recent, who's also a guitarist and a composer. He went to jail, Frank, for murder in 1918 and was pardoned in 1925. 5 years later, he was back, this time for attempted homicide. According to musical legend, he was released as a result of singing for the prison governor. He was back a third time, this time for assault, in 1939. He died in 1949, just a year before one of his songs became a million seller. Do you know his name, or his nickname, or the name of his hit song? Any of the three would do.
I presume it's a folksy singer.
Yes, folksy, blues, 12-string guitar.
American.
Yes. Nickname?
No, I don't know.
Leadbelly?
Yes, your partner's got it, John, yes. Leadbelly, that's right. And the song, do you happen to know, John, on your partner's behalf? Good night,
why don't
Irene.
You know on my
well, there you are. Good night, Irene was the song. I think you must get the mark because it came from your side. Ian, over to you. In 1737, a visiting singer from Italy so cheered King Philip V of Spain in his melancholy that he was offered 50,000 francs a year to stay on in Madrid. This the singer did, singing the same four songs to the king every night for 25 years. Who was this, in many ways, remarkable singer?
Well, he was obviously the fellow who invented repeats. 25 years, sang the same four songs. And it's 1737.
Yes, I gave John a hint, so I'll help you, but he was the star of the rival company to Handel's in Lincoln's Inn Fields, and I said he was, in many ways, a remarkable singer.
He was a castrato.
Yes, he was. He was a male soprano.
I wonder what the four songs were that he sang. I think one of them might have been "It's a Great Big Shame."
The other was "Mud."
The other was "I'm Too Shy."
he was originally Carlo Broschi, but his name, the most famous of all castratos, you must know, I think, Ian, his name, starting with an F.
It's no good looking at me.
Isn't
like
it, really?
No. You must think, because I don't.
I would ask our distinguished audience, what was his name? Farinelli, says the lady, and she's right.
Well done,
yes.
Madam.
Well,
you
Ian,
have the mark.
Well, Ian, you get half a mark for not answering, the same as John get half a mark, not half a mark for answering, too. Dennis, your man was born in Texas in 1907. At the age of 10, he joined a touring medicine show. Later, he worked on the railroad as a telegrapher, starring in the first Madison Square Garden rodeo. He became a flight officer in the U.S. Air Force, and he sold a million records with Frosty the Snowman. What's his name?
Well, we really brought the Cheltenham Music Festival down to my level now.
Yes,
he was... which one? He was one of those singing cowboys, a dreadful idea in films that grew up in the 40s. And he would say things, Roy Rogers, he'd say things like, them darn rustlers have stole my cattle, and they shot my best friend, and they burnt my house, and ravaged my womenfolk, and I'm going to get them if it's the last thing I do. But first, here's a little song.
ladies and gentlemen, how am I going to break it to Dennis that it wasn't Roy Rogers?
Gene Autry.
It was Gene Autry. Gene Autry,
yeah.
You've got it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Roy Rogers, yeah.
Shall we give him a mark or half a mark?
Give him a mark.
A mark, yes. The audiences are always generous. A mark to you for getting Gene Autry at the second go. Incidentally, Gene Autry's Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer sold over 6 million copies, which tells you something about public taste. Something you may not wish to know, but it tells you something about public taste. Here is a chance to pick up 7 marks for your team, because I'm going to play a piano medley.
Oh, yeah.
Not seven.
Way,
yes, a quick dash through 7 more or less recognisable bits from 7 different pieces of music. All of them have something in common, namely superbly artistic performance. The first medley of 7 for John Amos and Frank Muir, working in this instance together as a team. Thank you. How did you get on?
Well, go on, you start.
John. A very little snatch of billy-dum-bum-bum-bum.
Zu euren Spiegeln sind die Streicher Tonlichten von Richard Strauss.
Is correct, yes, that's right. Zu euren Spiegel, right, that's
yeah,
one
man.
Yes, then came John.
How much is that doggy in
no,
the window?
No, before that, there was a bit of something.
No, there else. Wasn't nothing
yes,
before
was,
that.
Yes, there was, yes, there was. You get it, John?
La Bohème.
Yes, the, which bit?
Da-dum-bum-bum.
Yes, the very start. The very
bum,
start
bum.
Of La Bohème. Then came
how much
dog.
Is that doggy in the window? That dog with the wobbly tail. Wait. How much was that dog?
Waggly tail, it was, actually.
Yeah, waggly. Well,
then the waltz.
Da-dum.
Ta-dum.
Bum, bum.
Funny title.
Ba-dum.
Which one is there?
Ba-dum.
Emperor? It's the one that goes, ba-dum, ba-dum.
Is it the emperor?
No, no.
Golden silver.
It's the one the birds dictated to Strauss in the film as he rode through a certain wood.
Oh, Tales of the Vienna Wood.
I can't give you that one.
The bird's I? Tales.
Yeah. Then came three others.
I've lost.
Chopsticks.
Chopsticks, that's right.
What's it?
Two more.
Who's that by?
Was by me, on, if you look on the royalty return.
It was so badly played, I couldn't distinguish the melodies, but let's get on.
Yes.
It's only a beautiful picture
yes.
in a beautiful golden frame.
That's the song, but interestingly enough, it's not the title.
If those lips could only speak.
You have it.
If those there. Eyes could only right. see.
He's going to go through the whole yeah,
if the
whole
beautiful golden tresses.
He's got it.
In reality.
And then we wrote, there was one you missed in the middle, you haven't got it, by Franz Lehár, The White Dove by Lehár. So that's 5 out of 7. And over to the second medley, Ian and Dennis. To the scoreboard, see how we're getting on.
I'm clapping at the pictures.
See how we're getting on. Ian, you may have got the first one.
I may not.
Oh, no. 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 Dreamer Day Jill.
For
Edward
what?
German.
Oh,
the one
yes.
that began. It's the introduction.
It was pretty, wasn't it?
Yes. As it was, it's lovely.
Then came a waltz.
Under the Bridges of Paris.
No, before
no,
that.
Where we
oh,
got
yeah.
a Nutcracker.
Yes, which?
Oh. Valse des Fleurs.
Les Fleurs, then Under the Bridges of Paris, that's right. Four more.
Choc-sol.
Choc-sol.
Yes, Choc-sol, but the tune, the song being...
My Hero
from the Chocolate Soldier. Then three more. Dvorak.
Songs my mother taught me.
Yes, that's right. And then Dennis.
Sing me a song of the islands.
Song of the islands.
Yeah.
And finally, perhaps for me, and I don't know.
Coppelia.
Yes, which?
Waltz.
Waltz from Coppelia by Delibes. You've got 6 out of 7. Very good. And on to the last round. There's nothing like a bit of spontaneous singing for clearing the throat and for clearing the Cheltenham Town Hall. So we come to the party piece. John. It's something I once heard you sing during a party that developed into a musical evening. It's a lovely bit of melody that occurs in Puccini's Girl of the Golden West, Fanciulla. What you cannot say has been revealed by your heart, sings one of the characters, Johnson. I'll give you a G-flat chord.
What you cannot say has been revealed by your heart. Waist in the dance just now, when against my heart
From The Girl of the Golden West. Frank, your song might be retitled Summer Night on the River, but its actual
Sailing
title...
Sailing down the river...
No, it's Row, Row, Row that I'm after,
oh, that
actually. Row, Row, Row.
He's got... yes, do you want to accompany me?
With pleasure.
How about Roundabout... Yes, that'll do. Yeah. Yes. We got a row, row, row. Way up the river he would go, go, go. A kiss he'd give her, and then he'd hug her now and then. She would tell him when, and then they'd roll around and fool around and fool around again. And then they'd row, row, row. Way up the river he would go, both he and Flo. Then he'd rest on his oars, and she'd take off her hat, and then they'd row, row, row.
Ian, we'll save you till last, as usual, and turn to Dennis. Dennis, as in John's case, this is something I know you know because I once heard you make a reference to it. I don't really know it all that well myself, so we'll manage it between us, shall we? When my little Pomeranian met your little Pekingese. Okay.
It was such a lovely evening as we strolled beneath the trees. And my little Pomeranian saw your little Pekingese. It was just a casual meeting, and I gave your hand a squeeze. 'Cause my little Pomeranian kissed your little Pekingese. It seems they're telling you just what to do. We might have thought of that before. Please don't forget, though we've just met, I'm sitting up to beg for more. So I told you that I love you. Down upon my bended knees, when my little Pekingese met your little Pomeranese.
I'd say one semi-interesting thing about that song. It was banned by the BBC, and it was called Smart Smut. Because there was something equivocal about the behaviour of the two dogs.
Francis Day.
Francis Day and Al Bowley recorded it with Roy Fox. It was written by a chap called Little Jack Little, who was a band leader. And he wrote his signature theme, he called Little by Little.
Thank you.
Wasn't it strange those days when records had on them band one on no account is to be broadcast?
Oh yes.
I remember the first time coming on this in a BBC studio and doing a record program, and here was this great announcement on the record in the label, and it would say bands 1, 4, and 6 not to be broadcast.
Yes.
And I thought, oh, I've got hold of a very exciting record here. And I found that band one was June is Busting Out All Over.
Well, Ian, your turn to sing. In this very town of Cheltenham, one of the major English composers was born, Gustav Holst. Splendid ending, I thought, to our programme, if you would sing just a verse of his I Vow to Thee, My Country.
I vow to thee, my country, all earthly things above, entire and whole and perfect, the service of my love, the love that asks no question, the love that stands the test, that
Marvellous tune, and I hope you'll agree that the programme has not been a total failure either. Not anyway for the victors this week, who I see from the score sheet are John Amis, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norden. Goodbye.
Taking part in My Music were John Amis, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norton. The chairman was Steve Race. The questions were compiled by Steve Race and the programme was produced by Tony Schreier.